Police work is tough, man. You know, a lot of officers retiring don't live a year after retirement?
Because of the stress?
From day in, day out, over 20 years dealing with the fuck the city offers you. In Baltimore City, you work 20 times harder than any other jurisdiction. It's just a fact.
I don't think people have any idea.
They have no clue.
They have no idea. Yeah.
Big H and Dre, two career Baltimore police officers. They've both been in flex team task forces, plainclothes units, and they're truly two of the best of Baltimore's finest.
Baltimore is a city that was known as the murder capital of the country. You know, that police department was just ravished with corruption. And now that I've become very close with these unbelievable people who have been a part of that police department through all of that, I am truly blessed to be doing what I'm doing. I think you guys feel the same way about what you do.
Absolutely.
And I just, you know, the people that you meet along the way. And yeah, I said before, you know, one of the criteria about being on the show is I gotta love you, and I love y'all, man. Y'all
I love you more, brothers. Bro.
The connection was immediate. The respect that you garner among your peers, among your fellow officers in Baltimore, is staggering. The way in which I've seen the community react to you guys is beautiful. It's respect and it's love. And it's just an honor. I'm really appreciative that you guys are here, man. And
how did you two meet?
Oh, man.
We met in the academy, but it wasn't like...
No, because in the academy, like, I got in the academy in 2011.
Were you both in together?
Yes.
Yeah, just different classes. Okay. I was in like 1101.
So. Yeah, I want like first impressions too. Because I know how, I mean, y'all are as close as motherfuckers can get. Like you guys are like,
I think that happened in Northeast, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because I was in 1101, you was in 1103, right? And so it's the 2011, I was the first academy class. He was in 1103, the third academy class. So when I got out in the streets, I was assigned to the Northeast District. Mm-hmm. He got on the streets. He wasn't assigned to any district. He was down. He was assigned to a downtown unit.
Yeah.
Where they go, he'll tell his part. But then he came to the Northeast, what, like 2 years later?
Yeah, I got.
And then once he got to the Northeast, he was assigned to Sector 2, which is another sector in the Northeast.
Can you describe the Northeast for people?
The Northeast is the biggest district in the city. It covers about 9.2 miles.
Okay.
And it's the largest district in the city that deals with any and everything.
Okay.
We have residential homes. We got the home, you know, the hood. We have everything.
We have a university.
Plethora of everything, huh?
We have a university there.
Yes. Morgan State is actually in Northeast. Shout out to them.
Yep.
So pretty much the Northeast, that's why I had all my trainees. I want them to learn in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. Because you learn your white collar crimes. You learn your armed robberies. You learn your shootings, your cuttings, your stabbing. Your domestics, you get everything. Mm-hmm. You can hone in your skill set as an officer working in Northeast District. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest district. You're gonna have a high call rate volume, mm-hmm. but you're gonna learn how to write. Mm-hmm. Only way to do this job is by getting out there and learning mm-hmm. how to write reports, and that's how you build your police skill set.
Straight up.
And building rapport with people, interacting with people. You know, some people are shy. Cool, get out there.
Yeah.
Put them with a seasoned vet that can teach them the ropes.
Yep.
You never been to an inner city, you never been to a hood block where they selling. Get out there and talk to them.
That's it.
That's the only way you can get past that nervousness.
Yep.
If you never interacted with it before, okay, go with a seasoned guy that could put you out there and you could talk to these people.
And that's where you met Dre. You met him in the Northeast.
I met him in the Northeast. Well, yeah. I met him in the academy, but we didn't converse like that until we got in the Northeast.
In the academy, we just give each other head nods because, like, we'll be working out together.
Right.
And we'll just be beasting through the workouts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then when I got to the Northeast, I was downtown. I was respectfully escorted out of a unit.
Yeah.
They respectfully told him he had to go.
Why is that? Papers.
He was showing off too much.
I didn't do something that they wanted me to do.
What they want you to do?
They wanted me to stay there and like just to be there, like just be on. And then shout out to everybody that walked foot. Yeah. We were walking foot, and I got into
walking foot meaning doing your patrol.
Yeah, but yeah, we walking foot, but you know, I see these guys, they riding around in cars.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
They call them motherfuckers the Bubble Bees and shit. They had cute little orange vests and shit walking around.
Well, I can't.
They had the glow vests.
So, it's funny you say
this. This motherfucker owns this city. I can't imagine with an orange vest, dude.
Nah, we had an orange vest, right? So we did everything were like crowd control, drugs.
Yeah,
like
they were hands-on with that shit.
Yeah, we were hands-on. Like, we put up, no lie, we put up 1,000 arrests in like 6 months.
Damn.
The group of us.
Damn.
So all we knew was drugs, like drug arrests. Mm-hmm. When I got to the Northeast, shout out to Lieutenant DW.
Wow.
I'm writing child abuses. I'm writing...
That teach that motherfucker how to write reports all over again.
I had to learn.
Yeah.
I had to learn because I didn't do that down there. For 2 years, I never wrote a child abuse report.
Right, right.
So shout out to DW Lieutenant. He would take my reports and like school, hit it with red paper, red ink.
Yeah.
And just be like, you got to rewrite this.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Stand on my shift.
Yeah. What, to make it a better case, to make it play better in court?
To do it the right way.
The right way.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like garbage. And he checked me. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, if you're going to be here, like he's saying in the Northeast, you're gonna get everything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain places that you only deal with, you know, drugs. Mm-hmm. Certain places you only deal with...
larceny from autos.
Right.
Residential burglary.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The Northeast gives you that collection of everything. Yeah. But I'll tell you, how me and him first started working together, we in the Chum, chilling.
Chum is a spot. What's the Chum? It's a heavy drug area in the Northeast.
Okay.
It's a dope
area.
So we call
it the Chum. It's like 5-6 blocks of pure just drug activity.
Yeah. And it's always, every other block is like that. One way this way, one way this way. Majority of it got tore down because it was so notorious, but we're there with the Silverbacks, the originals. And him and I, we get a dirt bike. Yeah. It was a dirt bike arrest. And the way him and I, not working together, but we know each other from the academy, we're communicating. And it worked out so well that was our first arrest together.
Yeah.
So it's super hard in this town to get a dirt bike. That's like a unicorn.
Yeah. Wow!
Dirt bikes are so like they could get on sidewalks.
Yeah.
They could get up on like off-road terrain.
They can get low quick.
They could and they're fast
depending on the rider.
Yeah, right. There's some riders that are sick as fuck around here.
Yeah.
He wasn't one of those guys. Yeah.
I think what happened? Tell me what happened.
So they call it out, and dirt bike is like, it's like you know when a dog sees a cat.
Yeah.
It's like. What?
Yeah. Forget that shit is like a unicorn.
Oh my God.
Why? You because if you succeed.
Because the dirt bike violation is hard to get.
It's super hard to get.
Pursuit policy in the city. So you can't chase them at the time. You can't chase them at all, the cars and vehicles and shit. You just got to call
at the time we could chase them.
Now we don't have pursuit policy.
But at the time we could, it was all free game.
Yeah.
So this guy's running through the Chum. Him and I were communicating. We get the guy, because a lot of times with dirt bikes, they'll ditch them.
Uh-huh.
And then they get away.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just got a bike.
Yeah. How do you stop a dirt bike?
You can't.
So how did you?
Well, how we did it is we driving. You know, I turned the overheads off.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't want a motherfucker to hear me.
We went dark.
Yeah.
We went straight, turned the lights off.
And are you guys in the same car?
In the same car.
But how did you guys end up in the same car?
We were short of car.
We were short of car.
Okay.
So they're like, hey, you two, ride together.
Okay, boom.
And I'm like,
fate was fucking sealed that day.
Booyah.
Let's go. Okay, so then what happens?
So the car comes out.
There's a yellow and white dirt bike. I got a picture of it.
He got a picture of it. So
that's like your baby. That's like your child.
I love dirt bikes.
Let's go, let's go.
I love dirt bikes.
It's not the first one we got either.
Okay, so what happened?
So I was driving at night. Was I driving? You was driving. Because I think you got him. You got it because you went on foot, right?
Yeah. No, I think I was driving.
You was driving.
I got him on foot.
He got... So we heard him. I hit a dirt bike.
As big as he is, he's the runner.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I get on my horse.
And that's... That was,
as big as he is, he's the runner. We'll talk about that later.
He played football in college.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Ooh.
Until I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, like, another story.
Like, you're running.
Yeah.
So we heard it, and then we seen it. So I'm like, all right. So he's like, I said, yo, pull out. I said, pull over. I'm gonna go around the corner.
We're following the sound.
We hear the sound.
We're like, yo, he made a left. He made a right.
And as soon as I get out the car, I go behind the bush, like I'm in the alley. So I go around and I heard him, but he started fucking up the gears.
Yeah.
So I knew he wasn't experienced. I said, got him. So he didn't see me, because I get in stealth mode when the hunter's on.
Yeah,
I turn my radio low. I don't want a motherfucker to hear nothing.
Yeah.
So I get around the corner, and he's sitting there trying to kick it. I said, get the fuck on the floor.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and just like he got shook.
Yeah.
And then he just, the bike dropped, and he ain't even run. And I, because I was on him. I was right there.
Yeah. And that's a whole lot of right there, too, with him. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the guard comes serious.
Yeah, sure.
But now he complied. He complied.
Yeah, he was cool.
Put the cuffs on him. That was it.
Yeah.
It wasn't no putting hands off.
Hey,
yo,
we didn't hit him.
Yeah.
He was a gentleman. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
We didn't hit him. We didn't curse. It was a simple arrest.
But on that day, I get like, when.
Then this motherfucker takes the dirt bikes. And spins it around the block.
Yeah, I was riding shit.
He picked it up and everything.
Up before
the
ride.
Yo, the block was like, yo! Because, I mean, now you got a guy in uniform, right? Riding the dirt bike, and the hood loved it.
Yeah, straight up.
Or the neighborhood. The neighborhood loved it.
And you guys have love for the hood.
Of course!
100%.
Yeah.
When you come from it, they embrace you.
That shit run through us all day.
Straight up. Like, when did you know that that was a cat that you could trust? Like, when did you know that that was a guy that had your back?
That night.
It all started that night?
We've been riding since then.
Since then.
It's been what? 10 years? No.
No, 11.
We got 11 on. It's been 9 years.
9 years, yeah.
Since we've been riding together.
Can you give me an example, any kind of example, of when H has really been there for you?
We in the 4x4.
Yeah.
Right?
4x4 is another...
Four blocks.
It's four blocks.
It's like that famous hood in L.A.
Yeah.
That they film all the time.
The jungle?
In Compton, I guess, where they did Training Day.
Training Day, yeah.
Like one way in, one way out.
The jungle.
Yeah.
Four blocks.
4x4.
Yeah.
It's called 4x4. Super famous in this town. We get a domestic call, and this dude's a pretty big dude. And she's upset. She wants him out. Out. So I show up, right? I'm primary because it's my post, and he's just my backup, right? And he did what he was supposed to do. He sees that me and the guy were bumping heads. Because he's like, short little motherfucker, what you fuck with? And I'm like, what? Mm. Who you talking to?
And he a hothead already.
And I'm like this. I'm like, what? I'm like separating, like, what we doing?
Yeah.
I'm completely forgetting my profession.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He checks me, I got it. And the conversation with that gentleman, with him, these guys are walking out like they were best friends. Mm. If he would not be there, it would have got nasty. Because he was like, what, 6?
He was like 6'3", 6'4".
Just
but
came
he was
home.
Wide, though.
Just came home. Just came home. Found his lady doing something she wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah.
And on one.
And now here I am, showing up, telling him, hey, man, like, you got to come with me.
Yeah.
You put your hands on this lady.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He wasn't feeling that. So to prevent everyone from getting hurt, especially me, I knew, let me fall back, my ego, right?
Yeah.
I'm humble. Let me fall back. And if he could get a better outcome, let him work the case. He has a certain way. He walked in there, and he's like, oh, what's up, big motherfucker?
Yeah.
And the dude was like, what? So now you got two big dudes, and he got them to calm down. He got them to, yo, main man, you don't really want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, they spoke on a level that I couldn't get them there.
Yeah.
And sometimes with police work.
I talked him in the cuffs.
Yeah.
Talked him in the
cuffs. He walked them into the cuffs.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
With no problem.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not for nothing, every man has an ego. And him just coming home, you know, big dude. To me, that never meant shit. Because you got to bring ass to get ass.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you got to know how to talk to people.
Straight up.
Because it's not about that. In this profession, you have to have the certain temperament to deal with people and be professional, even when you're dealing with somebody that's ignorant.
Talk to me about the importance of training, and talk to me about I know that that's a huge part of your life and what you do. What makes a good trainer? And just talk to me about preparation. Why it's so important?
I think H could answer that because
The biggest thing, you know, preparation is key because it's not if but when something happens. Training with some people, you know, training in general, it's a perishable skill if you don't do it enough.
100%.
And then this line of work, you don't got time for that.
Straight up.
As you can see, there's a lot of people that, you know, killing the badges right now.
Yeah.
Making their own individual choices instead of doing...
What does that mean, killing the badges?
by making their own personal decisions instead of making decisions based off of what you were taught and trained to do.
And the oath that you took.
And the oath that you took. Being the agent of your department is paramount in your success in policing. Motherfuckers tend to do what they want to do, forget about what you was taught and groomed to do. There lies the issue. There lies the problem. That's why there's always a dark cloud under law enforcement all around the country. Because some officers tend to do what they want to do instead of what they're trained to do.
It was an individual
decision. Choice.
Choice.
And when we make these decisions, a lot of times it's instantaneously.
Mm. And with ego.
Yeah.
He feel too. There's a lot of motherfuckers that walk around with the badge and think they're God.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
What do you think it says about people when they are unable to admit that they're fucking up, to admit that they have flaws? Because I feel like you can't learn that you hit a wall until you admit that you hit that wall.
Absolutely.
So, that is a personal thing. So that's not the academy. That's not the profession. That is an individual thing. Like that officer that made that mistake,
yeah,
he needs to go in the mirror, at himself, and check himself. His coworkers need to check him.
How would you check him if he was one of your coworkers? I
mean, I'd have pulled him aside. I'd be like, yo, what the fuck are you doing?
Why
are like,
you talking to people?
I'd be like, listen, go sit in the car.
Yeah.
That's no longer your car. I got this.
And have you guys been in that situation?
Absolutely.
Tell me about just Baltimore in general. Like, came down here. Like, you guys are both New Yorkers, right?
Yeah.
It's dope that you say that. We just came out with like a dope t-shirt, right? Uh-huh. Hardest City by the Sea.
Yep.
One day we was listening to Nina Simone in Triple C Studio. Uh-huh. Shout out to Triple C. You know, he's our engineer, all that good shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're just like vibing, right? And Nina Simone said in her Baltimore song that Baltimore is the hardest city by the sea. Mm-hmm. So we took that.
Beautiful.
Right? As a tribute to this beautiful town. Mm-hmm. This town is so beautiful. Mm. Yeah. But like you were explaining the other day, there's a certain brutal aspect to whatever, but there's also beauty to it when you was talking about Russia.
They always go hand in hand, don't they?
It goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
So as a society, we need to realize that it goes hand in hand.
What do you love about this city?
I love the people.
I love everything about this town.
I love everything. Like, downtown is amazing.
This town on the low is so fire. Dope. It's small, but it feels big.
Yeah.
It has its certain pockets
that
it's like, yo, what you doing down there? Yeah. But then it's beautiful like here.
Yeah.
Shout out to Monarch right here in the Harris Group.
What frustrates you about Baltimore?
It's a... You know what?
I'll let him talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the kid, you know, he knows how to talk.
I don't do politics.
Neither do we. We don't do politics.
Keep politics out of policing.
What?
100%. Yeah.
My thing is this, right?
I feel like if I've heard one thing over the last month and a half, that's what I've heard the most. Keep politics
out. Two different games.
Straight up.
Two different games.
My thing is, let us know what you want us to do. I could play any game you want me to play. Just give me the rules to it. I don't take shit personal. I'm good on that. This is business.
Yeah.
Let me know what you want done and we'll do it. Period.
Speaking of business, like, sometimes he gets at me, I get at him, we get at him, he gets at us.
Yeah.
It's all love.
Yeah,
it's business.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's move forward so we can continue to, like, put the best product out there. The town needs to do that. Put the BS aside and give the people the best Baltimore they deserve.
Everybody needs to be on the same page.
Yeah.
I think everybody, politically, everybody town. Needs to be on the same page because the city is amazing. It could be, it could be almost a mini New York.
But what? Like, the hood needs to act accordingly, too. It ain't just, you know, the people downtown. The hood needs to act accordingly, too.
The hood need to act accordingly, but
you can't.
We need them to be able to press the button to send gorillas to do gorilla work.
Straight up.
Exactly.
Can you go into that?
I would love to. Police work is not easy.
It's not pretty.
We make the shit look easy by what we do, how we are as individuals. Police work is tough, man. A lot of motherfuckers don't have no clue what police work is. You know, a lot of officers retiring don't live a year after retirement?
Because of the stress?
Because of the stress. because of drinking, failed marriages, from day in, day out, over 20 years dealing with the fuck the city offers you.
No, but that's the stuff that's behind the curtain.
That nobody, and it's cool. You don't have to care. I get it. But it's a reality. In Baltimore City, you work 20 times harder than any other jurisdiction. It's just a fact.
You're so experienced.
Because of all the shit that's
because everything you go through.
It's constant.
Yeah.
Constant.
I don't think people have any idea.
They have no clue.
They have no idea. Yeah.
Do you think any good out of the, like, all the scrutiny that police are under right now, do you think any good can come out of that?
Yeah, us.
Yeah. Explain.
100%.
What we do. Because what we do, we get out there. We hands-on. We talk to people. We had change.
It. What is an example of a quote-unquote member of the criminal element, something that you've seen them do that you absolutely respect?
Check it. First time we went to the West Side, North and Penn.
I took them there.
West Side.
Penn City and North.
Pensy and North.
Yeah.
Yo.
The blockers.
John, we was working foot, me and him, at postal riots.
We're basically like outside of our element, which was the Northeast.
Yeah, we from the inside.
We're like in Fallujah.
Yeah.
Word. Straight up.
I've seen it, man.
But the hood is hood anywhere you go, right?
Yeah.
So we in North and Pensy, me and Dre. We on foot.
Right after the riots.
Right after the riots. They're like, yo, keep this corner. The traffic is gonna be here. You can't do shit about it.
Crystal clear. Keep it clear.
Just keep it clear. From one side, just let them have them keep walking to the other side. We bump into the head guy that runs that entire organization. Gentlemen. We shoot the shit. Where y'all from? We from New York. We talk and we
talk. He came up to us.
He came up to us.
We didn't know who he was. Because if you see him, he was just a fly dude in the hood.
Right.
Glasses.
Right.
Clean. Gucci polo.
Well,
feel me?
On the shit.
Latest drip. He came up to us like, let me talk to y'all.
Yeah. We talking. He said, listen, I be honest with you. I did some time. No doubt. I got a couple bags of weed on me right now. I said, we're not here for that. Mm-hmm. The way he looked at us and the way we was conversing, he said, damn. I got y'all. Mm-hmm. What do you do, Dre?
He picked the shades up.
Yeah.
Because he was talking with shades. Put the shades up. He looked us in the eye. I was like, I got y'all. He was like, yo.
Yeah, when I tell you the block.
Hey, yo, it must have been like 50 people disappeared.
Disappeared.
Wow. I was like, what in the world?
You know, one of the things that we talk about, and again, I mean, part of the reason why I'm trying to do what I'm doing is I'm trying to give the microphone to people who have actually walked the walk, right? Because too many of these conversations are led by people who have no idea what the fuck they're talking about, right?
We appreciate that.
And look, man.
Yo, you're amazing, bro.
I'm telling you,
you're just giving us a platform.
I love it, man.
That the world needs to hear.
Straight up. People to hear, you know what I'm saying?
But I think one of the things when you have these sort of like armchair psychiatrists and these motherfuckers who are trying to dissect the situation, they talk about the blue line. They talk about this loyalty. And I think oftentimes what's wonderful about an institution or about a person or about anything is also often a close cousin to what's also toxic about them and what's damaging about them. And I'm just wondering, how do you guys feel about loyalty in the police force? And can you give me examples of fierce loyalty when it's at its most beautiful and its most righteous? And have you ever seen loyalty go astray and not work?
That's a dope-ass question, man.
It's dope, but the premise for what we do is we hold everybody accountable. I love this profession. I'm never going to let a bad seed go through. If a motherfucker did something, yo, let's go. You gotta be accounted for it. You got to go deal with it. I'm not going to have that around me, because if I don't say something, I'm going to get jammed up.
Straight up.
And there's been times when motherfuckers outcast people. It don't matter to me. At the end of the day, I'm here to do what's best for this department. And as a man, I'm not going to let nobody fuck that up. I'm not going to let nobody fuck my name up.
And you're not going to let anybody fuck up the community.
Like, absolutely not.
That's the other thing that I see. Because what I've really come to learn, especially being here, because I think this department, as we know, have been through a lot of shit, man.
Yeah.
And there have been some janky motherfuckers who have really... But what I've seen is nobody has hurt more by corrupt policing than the police themselves. And good police. And that's something that's just like this wild thing that I think nobody really knows. It is like the corruption that took place in this city has really set back great police officers, and it set 100%. Back great policing.
You want to know what great officers hate? bad officers.
A dirty motherfucker. Yes,
with that loyalty thing, because I heard, like, you know, your episode with Fenton, which I thought was really brilliant.
Justin,
like,
is awesome. Shout out to Justin.
Shout out to Justin. My man. Like, straight
phenomenal
up,
writer.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal, man. Yeah. And a real seeker of... Too. Even as fuck, and a seeker of truth in a world that only wants you to be... That's concerned with optics and how things look and pandering. I feel like he's really after the truth, man.
He stays to his profession. He's
a true... You know, there's true police. There's true everything. He's a true journalist. And absolutely. I have mad respect for him. But one of the things that I heard you guys say is that it's not about going and turning somebody in. It's not about going to IED. It's not really about that. It's about checking them yourself and in-house handling police. The situation. Yeah, can you guys explain that?
If it's something like minute, if you curse somebody out, mm-hmm. yo, what the fuck you doing? Right. You can't do that, bro.
Right, right, right.
Because you're gonna get jammed up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You'll lose your job over something so stupid.
Right.
You know, don't lose your cool over somebody that's being rude and negative to you.
Right.
You're the professional. People look at you like you're here to do a job and right. serve.
Right.
You're supposed to bring that individual from a 10 down to a 5.
Yeah.
And then once you bring him down to a 5, let him realize what he did wrong.
Yeah.
And that's how you build rapport.
Yeah.
And that's how that individual will appreciate you at the end of the day.
That's yeah. right.
You know that's what I'm right. saying?
I do.
In my experiences, I've always told people that, like, you know, you might get a kid first time, he got a gun. And he thinks he's the man. So he thinks he could talk to certain people a certain way. And I'm like, yo, you know how many guns are on this block?
Mm-hmm. That you don't even know right now.
Right. Put that away. Right? And this is me checking. I'm like, listen, it's all about respect. You talk to certain people a certain way. I say, you don't need this. This is just a tool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they got to be ready and willing to accept that check. Because I'm checking you. Mm-hmm. Because if you keep thinking, oh, I'm a tough guy and I'm going to go to the gun and all this shit, you're going to find yourself in a really bad situation.
Absolutely.
Because that's not what it's about.
Mm.
It's about talking. Mm. How can I help you?
Because
you called me, right? You dial 911. You're having a bad day.
Yeah.
I can't show up. And that's the problem, right? Because if I'm having a bad day personally, right? My wife is out there doing something or... my spouse, whatever, my kids are wilding. I can't bring that to work.
Yeah.
I gotta be clear-minded.
But it's also, it's a human profession.
It
and
is.
People go through
it
shit is. And you
but
have
that's
to
what people don't understand. Right. That yes, we show up and we put the uniform on. We're not robots. That's like right. We have feelings, we have, and we have to be strong-minded mm-hmm. to check that shit at the door, mm-hmm. have roll call. And whatever.
But with that hot button, and apologize if this is uncomfortable.
No, what's up?
But like when you take George Floyd, like take it that situation. We've all seen the video.
I want to fuck every one of them officers up.
But explain
see,
that.
That's
like
how
it
feels.
That is it's so disrespectful and just that is so bad for policing. Bro, you're not taught to do that to anybody. How do you put your knee on the back of somebody's neck?
That was
what the fuck? That's not a control technique?
Yo, yeah. that, I yeah. guarantee you, was an individual decision.
He did what he wanted to do.
That's nothing to do with being a cop.
How do you feel about those other officers that didn't?
They should get time, too, because the motherfucker sat there and watched that man die.
Wow. So, and will there be people on this force, people that you police with, that have a problem with what you just said?
No. If they do, fuck them.
Fuck them, right?
See, for me.
Fuck them.
For me.
That's real as fuck.
You already man. Know.
For me.
And they know how I operate. The guard's serious. Straight. Don't play that shit.
I like, see, for me, I'm in that aspect.
He too pro-police. I'm not.
No, it's not that. It's not that.
I'm going to let the motherfuckers
have it. It's not that. It's just, I was upset from a human aspect. Like, I get that the fact that it was their first day on the job, but it's like, as a human,
yeah,
you should know that's wrong.
You should know that's wrong.
You don't have to 100%. Go to academy to know that that was wrong.
Thank you.
That's a human.
So
instinct.
what do you
as a human, you know, like,
and as an expert, as career police officers, legendary police officers in this city, what do you think was the mindset of Derek Chauve? Like, what was in his mind that day?
I, you know what?
And I know we can't know for sure.
I don't know, but you can tell.
What do you see there?
You can tell that he's been in that culture for the longest time, the way he can do what he wants to do.
What is that culture?
A shit culture for policing.
Yeah. Explain it.
Not listening.
Me versus
not obeying
yeah.
the policies and procedures set forth for him to police.
Yeah, yeah.
When he took his oath under.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted to do what the fuck he wanted to do, which is a lot of cops go rogue. They get it. It only takes but one small thing to get away with.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you start feeling yourself. You feel you got a big dick. You can run around and do what you want to do.
But what? But what is that mentality? Is it a me versus?
I think it's a lot of motherfuckers that been that were pussies in high school.
That's what I see.
That like, been bullied their whole fucking life.
Like just a bitch ass motherfucker
That couldn't hell with the guard. You couldn't chill with me at the cool table in high school.
Straight
so
up.
You figure you get a badge to start bullying motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sad.
Have you seen that here in Baltimore?
Minimal.
Because real those minimal. People get
now,
checked.
You know what? Policing is totally different now.
But back then?
Yeah, minimal. But now, a lot of people need jobs. So a lot of people come on the job thinking policing is cool and it's fun and they could just get a check.
Yeah.
When you get out in these streets,
yeah.
It's a total ball game. It's a different ball game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, you got that nipple in your mouth when you're in the academy.
Yeah.
And you sucking on that thing. You good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You feel like, oh, man, I got this motherfucking, this full milk.
Yeah, yeah,
take
yeah.
care of me, baby.
Straight up.
No 2%.
Straight up.
Right. But when you get in you know you're being coddled, you know. But when you get in the streets, it's different.
Yeah.
Nothing can prepare you for the shit till you get into it.
Yep. Yep.
I don't care what block you on, where you at, the streets will humble you.
Yep. All day.
Somebody gonna humble you.
Yep.
100%.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you know, it's you know why it's tough? Because there's standards, there's qualifications. If you pass it, you pass. You know, you won't know until you actually in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They can prepare you as much as they can, you know, through movies, through film, through lectures, through people coming in to talk to you, and to prepare you mentally. But once you see them streets and you got to interact with these people, like how you going to feel if you tell somebody, so you got, I need you to, and if you start stuttering, he already know you scared.
Yeah.
Yep. They smell it.
I need you to clear the corner. Get the fuck out of here.
They smell it. They're going to
test
you.
What you going to do?
Let me ask something.
Police.
Before you come on, please. Before you guys came on the force.
Yeah.
You ever been in a street fight before that?
You motherfucking right.
You ever put your hands on somebody?
Dick beaters is official.
Straight up. How about you?
I did more than just fight.
So, how much experience would you say you had in your life with violence before you became a police officer?
A lot.
A lot, right? That was a world in which you feel comfortable with.
But
before.
You know what? It's. I think it's sad, but it's a gift.
It's an absolute, look, man, experience, period.
You can't buy that shit.
Yes, and like, thank for the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Everyone is here. You guys are still here.
Right.
Like, praise the Lord, you got out of whatever you got into.
Right.
But you've been down that road before. And when someone puts his hands on you.
You know it's.
You've been there before.
Absolutely.
You know what's up. What percentage would you say? I mean, you train officers. You're training officers in the academy. When you're training officers, when people are coming to look to you, what percentage of those cats that come to you have had violence in their life before? Have had some experience with that?
None of them.
Very small.
Very small.
Very small.
Yeah.
So my question is like, you know, because for me, like, I don't know how to get into Derek Chauvin's mindset. He's exhibiting something that I don't really understand. Now, them other dudes who didn't do shit, I see some scared people, right? I've seen people make mistakes. Okay, I'm like, look, I've never walked that walk, so who am I to know what it's like to walk around the streets in a uniform with a gun? I don't know. But when I see somebody going to their gun when maybe they could use their hands, the only thing I think of is, okay, that person must be afraid. That person isn't just, there's some hands got on that, they didn't know what to do, so bam, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of techniques, what kind of tools can you give them to sort of deal with that fear, and how much do you think fear plays a part of bad decisions?
A lot of it.
A lot of it, because...
Fear, everybody's going to be nervous.
Everybody. And then everybody's fear is different.
Right.
And you're not gonna know how you're gonna react to something until you're in that situation. But you know what would contrast that? Training.
Well, that's it. I mean, the first time you go in the ocean, I don't care who you are, you can be scared as a motherfucker.
Oh,
but you
100%.
Keep going every day, all of a sudden you're swimming in those waves.
Like,
so when you hear somebody say, come up with an idea, hey, let's defund the police,
that's the wrong tactic.
Right. So really what it is let's put more funding in,
need,
more training.
More, if this is what you want, right?
Yeah.
If society wants this type of service.
Yeah.
That we need more funding, right?
It's about hand-to-hand. I wanted to implement boxing, but that's above my pay grade.
Right.
Boxing is paramount. Hand-to-hand, grappling. Jiu-jitsu. That's huge. Jiu-jitsu. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's so dope that you said that because if you're proficient, I'm proficient with the hand-to-hand, I don't need to go.
You don't need to go to the gun work at all.
I don't need that.
How much would you say is the average police officer on the streets of Baltimore, how much hand-to-hand combat training would you say they have in a year?
None, unless they do it personally.
Right.
You have to train personally.
Yeah, and they have to.
And like, why is that?
We're so short-handed.
Yeah.
They need bodies on the streets.
That's like, the red tape that we can't cross. Because it's out of our element. But there's a lot of officers that go to the range on their own.
Yeah.
They pay their own money. A lot of them go do MMA.
They do
gyms. I'm talking to a lot of guys here.
Boxing.
Who,
and these guys are the most peaceful people you ever
met. Absolutely.
Well, I think there's a huge misconception about people who are training all the time that they're actually looking to engage in those situations. And I think it's really interesting. Only if you've been down that road do you know it's actually the complete opposite.
Yeah.
If you're training all
the
time.
You don't train just to get in the shit.
That's right. Look, you train so you can get out of it. You train so you don't need to go there. And if you do, you can diffuse it quickly.
Bruce Lee was the pillar of that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He always talk people out of it like, you don't want this. Like,
right.
Please.
With baby oil you on.
Do you?
Word. Baby oil on.
Cut, son.
He said with baby oil.
Word.
Can y'all just explain flex unit, jump out boys? Can you, and I know that that's how you used to rock. Can you just explain what that kind of
thing is? It's an aggressive element of police work where men are just hunting men.
Mm-hmm.
So like in patrol, we're answering calls. Now,
there's a problem.
Once you get out of patrol, now you get into that element of I'm only focusing on drugs and guns. So, like, if I have a hot corner, right, like a corner where there's a lot of violence, there's a certain group of men, and shout out to all of them and women that do this job every day because there's a 50-50 chance that they could get shot. Back in the day, we could approach them and be like, yo, what's up? What you got on you? And then that's how you get guns. So they were clever. They were like, I'm not going to carry it on me. I'm going to leave it here. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to do certain things.
Hands-on policing is done. That shit is over.
But it's needed.
It's needed to serve a purpose, in my opinion.
Is there anything about hands-on jumping out, flex unit, jump out boy type.
You got so much drugs off the streets. You got so much guns off the streets.
Tell me.
You stopped murders. You stopped. It was a huge, drastic change. I'd say the last time, we've been over 300 homicides in how long, Dre? The last, 6 years?
Yeah.
The last time it was, one something?
197.
197 was.
2011.
Right. Back when it was hands-on
policing. My numbers may be wrong, but that's
around the ballpark.
Look, the bottom line is lives were, like, less people are getting killed, right?
Yes.
Okay, but would you also agree,
yeah.
And I'm throwing this out here now because I know this is a question.
Yes, sir.
But that the majority of the potential for corruption and the potential for police doing bad are in those units. Is that a true sentiment or not true sentiment?
You know what? That's a good question.
It is a great question.
It's a great question. I don't know.
Well, when I ask, when I go down to the Pueblo Bishop housing projects in South Central,
at the time, yes, because those motherfuckers are arrested.
When I talk to people who are on the other side, right, good people,
yeah,
what they say is their main beef with the police is that their youngsters are sitting around the corners doing their thing, and motherfuckers are coming up, throwing them up against a car, throwing them up against a wall, searching their shit, calling this, this, and that.
I think.
And as that, people who grew up in those kinds of neighborhoods, and maybe you've had those kinds of experience with the police, how do you guys feel? Because that is that.
No, you're absolutely true. I agree. You know what? When you give a motherfucker a rope, sometimes they hang themselves with it.
It's a human profession.
So there's great police that was doing the job to a T in that time frame, but also it was ones that just doing extra just because they know they could do it.
Straight up.
So I agree with that assessment. Because even I've seen it growing up where police would just be assholes and abuse their authority because they can.
Right.
And they think the shit is cool.
Just small dick motherfuckers.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Short dick in their whole life.
That's right.
and ain't got the girth to measure up.
Straight
but
up.
Anywho,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and fuck with them mentally.
Yeah.
So they figure they want to take that out on anybody else.
But just with us. Cats like you and you, and when I talked to like my boy, when we talked to Maggio.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Shout out to him.
You talk about a dude who is in it for the whole right reasons. He's like, I'm going to police the way I'm going to police.
Facts.
And I'm out here because I grew up in this community.
He's a legend.
And I, right? And he's like, I am going to take the fight to the bad guys, but I still do it with empathy, care, and compassion for the community that I police in. But the bottom line that is inarguable that I feel like what you guys are saying, what I'm hearing from both the police and honestly from the element on the other side, what I keep hearing is that, look, at the end of the day, murder rates are skyrocketing, crime is skyrocketing because you're taking those units off the street. So what's the answer? And in my opinion, it's amplifying. And let's, instead of just spending all this time, and I understand that's necessary, looking at these people who fuck up and do terrible, depraved, awful shit, let's look at the motherfuckers who are doing it right. Like, let's look at the dudes who are policing hard.
So to add to what he's saying, and I agree with that, but also let's look at the flip side of the coin, right? Those guys in the Pueblo Bishop, right? A lot of them, I don't know any of them. You know, shout out to them or whatever.
Straight up.
And if you say they with it, I believe you because I'm with you and you with us.
Yeah, yeah, straight up.
But how many of them are just like, hey, this guy hemmed me up for no reason? Like, on both sides, we have to take ownership.
Straight up.
So you can't cry. If you out there slinging and you poisoning your community, and you out there with the banger and you blowing and you send it, you put orders in, you can't really complain when the police pull up on you and they check you.
Straight up.
You can't complain.
Straight up.
Because you out here.
Tell me about policing before and after the body camera and the cell phone and what roles they play.
You know what? Pre-body camera, of course, they would just take it for what it's worth, whatever was documented. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And there was so much gray area. Well, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. What body worn cameras
yours.
Now,
yeah.
It sees everything. So when the suspect will say, no, I didn't do that, you said it all here on footage, bro.
Sure.
Like, sir, it's on camera.
Yeah, it's on camera. So everything is there for the public. Even for the public to say, in some cases, oh, he was going to college. He was going to... Stop.
No doubt. I get it, but it's on the camera.
It's on the camera.
Yeah. That's what you wanted,
right? That's what you wanted. So this, I love the body worn camera. Because it shows them how some people can be ignorant.
Yeah.
It shows the real life of what an officer goes through.
Yeah, yeah.
How he's being spoken to.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a regular.
Yeah.
And on top of everything.
And you know what's crazy? They see that shit.
No, it's crazy.
There's no empathy towards police officers.
They don't give a fuck about police officers.
That was
we could go to a call, our first call, or be a shooting. After we cleared it up, go to homicide, I'll be back 10-8 in service.
Mm.
How about a fucking child abuse?
Mm.
How about a girl being killed? Throat being cut?
All on body camera.
All on body wall. All blood. We see blood organs everywhere.
Meanwhile, you got your daughter calling you, hey, Dad, I just wanted to call you and say goodnight. Mm-hmm. And you thinking about your kid like...
And you think about this teenager that was just stuffed in this fucking storm.
And now, the homicide, shout out to 2100.
Why?
Now they got to go inform that family and give them that bad news. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
And think that about that.
And then go home to their own kids.
All day.
You go home and your kids and you... you know how many times I go home and I'm hugging my kids? And I'm just like... It's crazy because of the shit we see.
It's no such thing as a regular 8-hour day.
Never. Every 8-hour day, no matter how much overtime you do, no matter what district you at, every hour is different. Shit just changes.
And try doing that for 15, 20 years.
It changes.
And think you're a sane person.
It changes.
And you're not getting help.
And every time.
I commend the department because there are units now that are strictly designed to take care, ask that officer to get help with, to seek help, to speak with somebody. Yo, to be an officer in this city, I love it. I never take it back. I will always be a Baltimore city, but all cities involved, you go through it.
Go through it.
Mentally, on top of what you're doing in your personal life, and then you got to deal with, you know, the job at hand, you got to be built for it.
Yeah. Yeah, but now there's this new element
of what,
which is every time you guys get out of the car, you got a cell phone on you, and you got, hey, you guys are the enemy. Like, and that's this new, I mean, I know there's always probably been a certain degree of that, but like right now.
I mean, that's what we signed up for. That shit don't bother me.
Yeah, but right now they're capitalizing off it because they know they can make money off of it. But every officer that steps out of the car, he knows he's there to do a job. We don't mind body cameras because we're following the letter of the law.
That's right.
What he said, tell me what you want me to do. If you change the law, I'm going to do what the law says.
I'm game. Right. It's not personal for me.
It ain't personal.
You know what's personal for me?
I don't know you.
Getting out there talking to these business owners, talking to everybody, because that's what community, you know, policing is. Going to the churches, speaking to everybody that you come across. So that you can eliminate violence when they see you, when the doughboys see you. Because once you talk to them, you already
know their name.
Right. Like, you build your own little stat sheet, your own little book.
Yeah.
Just off of, because we there. You think I'm 8 hours bullshitting? I'm 8 hours watching what you're doing, who you're interacting with, who comes to see you at 10:30 in the morning. I don't gotta throw the hands with you. Stop.
I'm gonna sit back. I'm gonna watch you.
90% of the job is talking. Period.
And but that only comes
with
when
time.
You've had some time.
It does come with time.
Experience.
Yes.
It does come with complete confidence.
Yes. Because you know, it's all about the circle you keep. I keep my circle small. I don't have friends, I have brothers. Big difference. A lot of times you gotta teach people how to treat you. No motherfucker gonna talk to me any kind of way they want. Supervisor, lieutenant, captain, everybody will get slapped in their fucking face. Don't talk to me any kind of way you want.
Yeah, because you're a man, I'm a man.
Because at the end of the day, I'm a king. And when I leave it, and when I take this uniform off, motherfuckers still gonna love me for who I am. A lot of these motherfuckers on the job for their own particular reasons. Mm-hmm. When they leave that uniform, they pussies when they get out of work. Niggas don't respect them. Pardon my French.
True.
Who are you when you gotta put that motherfucker, when you put that uniform and you gotta leave it and take it off? Mm-hmm. Who are you when you get the fuck out of that district or that precinct to drive home? You know how many motherfuckers that are scared to retire, or when they retire, they don't leave their house? They tint the windows in every house and every window of their house because they don't want to leave that shit. Cause all the dirty shit they did in the course of their career. I'm real. And when you know a real one, if you treat a motherfucker bad, pardon my spitting.
You be good, man.
But what's
now
real,
you're into it,
what's real with life, if you treat a motherfucker bad and you good with that and you having a good time because you got a badge, you don't know what that motherfucker going to do to you. Even if you let him off the hook, but you treated him like shit.
Don't go away,
man. What if that motherfucker
man.
Wait till you get off work to follow you to know where you live?
That's right.
It's so dope.
Do you know how deep this shit get?
Hey, yo.
I'm telling you, shit is different.
But do you think the reason why the two of you guys can go into the community, treat people with respect, treat people with empathy, have love for everybody in that community, see yourself in everybody in that community, is because you also have the ability, when you're off duty or even when you're on, to go to places and be completely comfortable in places
100%.
That most people are too afraid to go?
100%.
I'm comfortable anywhere I go.
Everywhere we go. You put me in Africa right now. We go to Fusion. I don't give a fuck.
I'm not feeding no lion. I ain't fucking with
you. I don't got to feed the lion. Yeah, but guess what? The nigga feeding the lion.
You give me the Jesus.
My fuck. The dude feeding the lion.
Yeah, but other than that,
he going to be like, yeah.
Fuck that.
They're not going to feed lions.
I'm good.
But I respect them.
What are the silverbacks, man? Tell me
it's
what
exactly
it means
that.
To
like, I mean, our logo, you see it blue. We call him Blue the Gorilla.
Yeah.
He got his eyes blacked out. He don't see no evil, he no evil. He's here to do a job. And he's in a suit. He's a gentleman, like he said, but he's also gangster. Because a real silverback would tear your ass apart.
Yeah.
But you got to get him to that point. We don't want to get to that point.
And who, the silverbacks are what? They're a group? They're a group
We're
of
people? A troop. It's a mentality.
Yeah.
And it's the guys we came up with.
We called ourselves the Silverbacks because we always took care of each other. We always had each other in line. We always worked out after work. We made sure, and you had to work overtime if you was fucking with us.
Oh, yeah. That was a criteria. You had to work overtime, and you had to work out after the
you
shit.
You just had to. This is the new hierarchy of policing. We switching the whole game up.
Oh, some luxury shit.
Word. Sexy.
We doing luxury policing.
Word.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to put the handcuffs on you.
Hold up.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put the handcuffs on you sophisticated.
Right.
On some Rick Ross shit.
Listen, relax. Take Rick your Ross. Time. But let's sip with some Bel Air, you heard?
You know what I'm saying?
Why?
I'm going to serve you champagne.
But listen, we understand. We know. But you know what? We giving everything to policing. We love it.
Straight up.
Policing is easy to us. It's not hard. Straight it's up. Just the individual.
Fucking
government. Yeah, yeah.
We're agents of our department. We love our department. Shout out to Baltimore City Police Department.
Yeah. Shout out to all departments.
All departments worldwide.
The best job in the world. I know you probably said that about your profession, but yo, being a cop is the best thing. Right. Like, it's the best job ever.
I could be a role too. Shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't say that.
Put a singlet on the shit. It's not wrestling.
You know what I'm saying? One minute I'm working a baseball game. One minute I'm working a shoot.
Right.
Yeah, one minute I'm, you know what I'm saying, saving a little kid.
Fuck the wrestling shoes. Put some Tevs on.
I'm in a high speed chase.
Yeah. Right.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
That's so dope.
I couldn't believe that dude the other day who pulled up on us. You were like, here comes the hammer. Remember that dude?
Yeah.
Remember in the alley?
Yeah.
Oh, we're not just talking about that?
He said, yeah.
No, I remember that shit.
Yeah, I was like, damn. I mean, that's every day.
Yeah.
100%. Yo, it's great. Seriously, bro.
100%.
The city is. Yo, this city is.
No disrespect. Listen, no disrespect to any municipal department.
This is the training ground.
This is like, the forefront of policing.
If you want to be a cop, like,
what?
Obviously, yeah, you big cities. But if you want real some real shit, where like a sergeant will walk in the room and be like, "Yo, Jay, yo, we're gonna hit a door. Come through."
What?
And like, you showed up to work and like, I'm getting ready to write reports. And then it's like, boom, boom, boom. You know what I'm saying? Somebody like KG, you show up. Hey, we're doing a federal, blah, 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 right? And it's like, fuck, this is what I'm about to do. Mm. You get that experience.
Mm. I love it.
Man, I love y'all, man.
Love you more, bro.
Yo, cheers,
appreciate
bro.
You guys. Yo, cheers.
I wish I had something to sip on, but
yeah.
I mean, you drank all with the ice and shit.
Hey.
That means you busy.
Hey, God bless both of y'all, man.
Nah, thank
bless
you.
Y'all, man.
Thank you for allowing us to talk to you.
Come
you know
on,
saying?
Dog. Come on,
we
man.
We talking that shit.
It's a privilege.
No, it's an honor just to be here, bro.
Yo, shout out to this beautiful space. You know what I'm saying?
Word out. Shout out to my sexy Crocs. You know what I'm saying? We walking saucy.
With the high socks.
You know what I'm saying? Silverback Chronicles Podcast. We love you. We appreciate you.
Dude.
Shout out to my brother, John Berthold. Come on.
Appreciate
real
you,
ones.
Bro.
All day.
Appreciate y'all. Silverback, dog. Silverback.
Real ones.
Ooh. Real ones all day. What's that? That's a phenomenal
real
tag
ones.
Team right
back
there.
At you.
Real
come on
back
now.
At ones. You, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Real Ones Network. We love you guys. We
hell yeah,
you.
Hell yeah.
Listen, Silverback Chronicles Podcast, we love you. We work you. Listen, if there's anything you want to see, we are real active detectives. We do this. We here to help. We here to bridge the community, bridge the gap from police. It's not just about police. It's about everybody. Mm. Everybody has a voice that needs to be heard. And we have that
love
platform.
Too,
and we
too,
want
dog.
You to come in and say, you know, say your piece. And we love you.
Shout out to everybody podcasting. Shout out to, you know, people doing something positive with a platform. Because, yo, we need more positivity in this world.
Sure, absolutely.
Fuck right. All that negative shit. Nobody gives a fuck about no colors. Yo, let's get to the solution. Let's hug each other. Let's love each other. And that's it, man.
And the reason why I say we're the number one law enforcement podcast, because we are. Motherfuckers ain't talking the way we talk. The swag is different.
It's different.
Our individual, everything is different.
Yo,
different. You heard?
Hey, shout out to BPD. Shout out to the Baltimore Police Department. This wonderful community that has taken me in. Awesome. Ooh, I love you. Ooh, I love you.
Yo, shout out to bartenders, man. They ooh. Listen to all that shit.
Yo.
We talk about and just
hey,
yo. Fucking take it.
Take it ooh. Easy. Take it easy.
Thanks for being here, everybody. I really appreciate it. If you dug what you saw and you want to hear more, subscribe, like, do all that stuff. It'd mean a lot to us. I hope you dig these episodes as much as we dig doing them. You guys take care of yourself.